Hi, thanks for joining us for this message from Red Church in Melbourne, Australia. We pray that you are blessed by it. If you'd like to know more about Red Church and its ministries, or if you'd like to support us financially, you can find out more by heading to redchurch.org.au.
Welcome, my name is Andy. It is so great to have you here on Palm Sunday. It's so fantastic. We're a week away from Easter. Who's excited for that? I am. I love Easter, as you'll get to hear. Even driving here, I got excited. I went past a local parish and I see the priest getting a photo op with a little palm branch. And I'm like, yes, Palm Sunday. Come on. We are pumped. So this is the time where, as we've said, this is the time where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, hailed as king. The people shouting, Hosanna in the highest. Glory to the King. This is an incredible moment. It's a bit of a homecoming. It's a bit of a recognition of who Jesus is to his people. Beautiful moment. However, for us, today's scripture in John 13, we're going to fast forward just a little bit from that moment as we read from that. I'm going to read from here. Nice small text to make it easy for myself. So John 13, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath only need to wash their feet. The whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you do those things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can take the boy out of Catholic school, but yeah, have to respond to that. If you know what I'm talking about, you'll know. So this scene is the beginning of what we like to call Maundy Thursday. And Trudy, you're not alone. Maundy Thursday slips very easily from the lips, as I have found this week. It sounds very polished and polite. It's like, what are you doing this Maundy Thursday? I'm going to have a spot of high tea. It just sounds so jolly, but as we see, the scene is not as jolly as a high tea. We talk about washing one another's feet. Now, this is a weird concept to us here at this time of history, at this place in history. It's not something that's very common that we do for each other. Although, if you have been to a few weddings, you might have seen this take place. In fact, that's something that my wife, Hannah, and myself did at our wedding. As you will see, this is the time where everyone goes, oh, 6 years ago, spring chickens, oh. This is probably the one time you'll see in this context of washing one another's feet. But the word Maundy, like I said, it's a funny old word. Where does it come from? It's actually derived from Latin. The word is mandatum, which is where we get the word mandate. Maundy comes from the word mandate. This is in line with verse 34 in John 13, where he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, you must love one another." It's a command. It's a mandate that he gives his disciples to carry with them for the rest of their lives. Now, as he says this, the word new command, the Greek is kainos, which means something new, but not like a new pair of shoes or a new hot cross bun that you must taste test. This is something, it's fresh, unprecedented, not before seen. This is important that this word is used because Jesus is in fact doing something very new. Even the simple act of getting down to wash his disciples' feet was extremely countercultural and deeply shocking. But what's fascinating is that it is, sense, a cleansing. But it's not really always just about cleansing. There is something deeper going on in this moment, which we will explore. Now, you might have been familiar with the term a groundbreaking ceremony. It's something that is done before a new project or a new build or construction is underway. A famous one for us is that when 1980, here in Melbourne, when the Parliament House was about to be built, there was a groundbreaking ceremony for that was attended by, at the time, Queen Elizabeth II. It's a bit of pomp, it's a bit of ceremony. Sometimes they'll literally break the ground with a golden shovel, which is then displayed as a testament to the beginning of a grand project. So it's a big thing. So Jesus, in a shocking fashion, kind of like a groundbreaking ceremony, is beginning his work on his church. It's kind of like Maundy Thursday was the groundbreaking ceremony for his church. So let's break down this scene to see what is happening behind the actions. Now, as we said, feet washing is not something that we do regularly here in Australia in 2024, but it was a very common hospitality practice in the time of Jesus and his disciples. However, the feet washing was generally reserved for Gentile slaves or the wife of the host. Definitely not someone like Jesus who was seen as a rabbi, as a teacher, as someone having somewhat status. It was not normal for him to be getting down and washing his friend's feet. Peter's visceral reaction to the very idea of Jesus washing his feet just goes to show how deeply ingrained that is. Are you going to wash my feet? Notice how he says, "You will never wash my feet." And the very next sentence, "Oh, just wash my whole head and hands as well." It is textbook Pete, always putting his foot in it. It's a good thing that Jesus probably cleaned his feet because he was about to put it in his mouth again and again and again. Poor Pete, we like to kind of single him out. He takes off his outer garment and he puts it aside. It's fascinating that it says in the scripture that he had come from the Father and was going to return to the Father and then proceeded to take off his outer robes. The imagery is rich here. These robes would have marked him as a teacher, as a rabbi, as their Lord. It's a symbol of his divinity, which he's willingly laying aside to serve those he loves. The Greek word, again, for this laying aside is tithemi, and it likens to a laying down of one's life, but also to take that back up again. As was said before, he takes it off. He's come from the Father and will be returning to the Father. We even think about him laying down his life over Easter, only to take it back up again in glorious fashion. This is God revealing his true humility to us. Jesus has full confidence in who he is. He says he knows that everything is under his power. He has full awareness of who he is, yet comfortable enough to be able to lay that aside and take it up again. Taking on the very nature of a servant, with just his inner tunic on, he would have looked like a Gentile slave. It would have been really distressing for his disciples to look at. Think about that, his robe, this idea of his priestliness, his kingliness. It was the robe that the woman touched for healing. It was his garments that the soldiers cast lots for at his crucifixion. It's a symbol of who he is as Lord, as Savior, as priest. He has full confidence in himself to lay that aside. Philippians 2, Paul alludes to that, which I'll say that he, being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. But in doing so, in this willing laying down, he sets off a cosmic liberation, which we will look to in a moment. But it's fascinating that he chooses this moment to reveal his wish for his people at the Passover meal. Let's rewind all the way back to Exodus, to the very first Passover in Egypt, before God moves mightily to liberate his people, Israel, from slavery. He moves so strongly through plagues, through parting the sea, through leading his people through the wilderness to show to Egypt and the nations around that these were God's people. I am a God above all other gods, and I've set my people apart. He begins to form them through this Passover and through the experiences, through the wilderness, to become more like his people, to show what it's like to be a display nation for his goodness. He gives them the law. He gives them a system of sacrifice to be able to be in right standing with him, to serve him, to know him. Cleanliness, ways to live. He proceeds to make a covenant with his people. A nation's narrative is being formed and advanced in this time. Now let's fast forward back again to Maundy Thursday. It's Passover again. But for his disciples, it would be the last Passover as they knew it. This is almost like the last Passover before the world be changed forever. Before what we will observe next week, Christ's death, resurrection. God, through the Son, is about to move entirely, but it is a completely new way. Washing his disciples' feet was just the beginning of the script flipping. We are on, at this moment, as we read, the precipice of a new covenant that Jesus and God, the Father and the Son, want to make with his people. And a new covenant needs a new narrative. Easter brings a rewriting of the script of what it means to be God's people on earth, God's church. What God did in Egypt for Israel in Exodus is about to happen on an eternal cosmic scale, including all of us. I love Easter. It is the best comeback story that the universe has seen and will ever see. It's better than when your team from behind storms through in victory in the fourth quarter. It's the most beautiful, glorious, praiseworthy moment in history. Not just dying for the sake of us, but rising again so that we can have life in the full. Putting death to death. That is what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. And I get super excited on Sunday. I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to celebrating all of you Easter Sunday. But isn't it extraordinary that it begins with God getting down and washing his mate's feet? It's a beautiful image, actually, that whole scene of the Easter story, which Bishop Fulton Sheen sums up with impressive concision. The scene was a summary of his incarnation, rising up from the heavenly banquet in intimate union of nature with the Father. He laid aside the garments of his glory, wrapped about his divinity the towel of human nature, and poured the laver of regeneration, which is his bloodshed on the cross, to redeem men, and began washing the souls of his disciples and followers through the merits of his death, resurrection, and ascension. It's a stunning summary of what it's about on a grand scale. But I'm going to be honest with you. It would be kind of weird to wash someone's feet. Again, we're not used to this. It's a different time, a different place. It'd be kind of a bit awkward, a bit messy. How do I get down? How do I dry it? Even that scene that you saw between myself and Hannah, it was a bit awkward. Didn't want to hit her dress lest I be smote from above. Like my head is right there in the firing line. It's like a big target. I've got no hair. It's like right there. And she had some pretty big heels on it the day. So yeah, very imposing, very scary. But as we see, as Maundy Thursday reveals, it's mandated. It's a command he gives us to love one another. You must also wash each other's feet as I have done for you. There is an expectation there. Exodus showed that a nation was given a law, a system to help differentiate them from the nations around them. But now we have a mandate to show who we as a people belong to. And it's to love each other, to serve one another, to know one another. Jesus in verse 35 of John 13 shows us why. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is what sets us off as a display of God's goodness, of what it means to celebrate Easter, to be people of Easter, by the love that we have for one another. And that could be just as messy and awkward as the idea of washing someone's feet. It's real. It's real life. To do this action meaningfully, it would take humility and vulnerability. Like I said, my head was right there in the firing line. Had to be vulnerable. Had to be humble enough to get down in front of all my family and friends to show that I wanted to serve my wife. To think about putting myself in a disciple's place at that time and place. The idea of someone coming down and wanting to see a part of me that's dirty, that needs to be cleaned, that I might not be comfortable showing. That it's a bit too vulnerable. Don't see the dirty parts of me. You don't need to wash me. And to even wash another's feet, to be shown those parts of people, to be humble enough to get down and be willing to serve and love someone. Doing this with humility and vulnerability removes some of that discomfort, some of that awkwardness, when you realize the gravity of what you're doing for another. To show others the dirt that we've accumulated, the paths that we wandered down. I think of the prodigal son who's wandered so far from home to paths of complete ruin and destitution, yet As he approaches, his father runs out to him, arms wide open. Even that, just as the idea of Jesus washing his friend's feet, the idea of a father running out to wrap his son around him, that was not a cultural norm. To bend down and be shown this part of someone and to have enough grace, not just to see what's been accumulated and the paths that we've taken and where we've been, but to see what's underneath, clean feet and where they could take us. To see a person that reflects God's image, to see a person worthy enough to get on a cross for, as Jesus did, and he paid the price. Because we've all wandered down paths that don't lead to life. It's like that prodigal. We find ourselves in places and we ask, where did we get here? How did we get here? Can I go back? We all accumulate stuff from life. But Jesus wants to wash your feet anyway. And sometimes it's going to be hard and it's going to be painful to serve people, to love people, regardless of where they've been and what they've done or the ways that they've potentially hurt you. Has it ever occurred to you that in that scene, Jesus would have washed Judas' feet as well? What was running through each other's minds? Did he decide at that point? Was he still teetering whether he was going to go through what he had thought about doing? Was Jesus trying hard not to hide the pain and the hurt of the betrayal to come, knowing that as soon as those feet were washed, they're going to run to betray him? However, Jesus has mandated us to wash the feet of those he loves. Guess who he loves? Everyone. All of us. There is an invitation this Easter to let Jesus rewrite your narrative of what it is to be his, to show the world how we love each other. Take some time to be washed anew by him, to be served by him, to recognize and take on how he served you on the cross. Let his love permeate you so deeply, so strongly, that you can't help but be known as his disciple. We'll be approaching communion, so what better opportunity to sit in that than now? In a moment, we'll be coming. There's stations across each corner of this room. There'll be a cracker that you can dip into the juice, or there is also a COVID-safe pre-packaged, if you wish. Communion reflects that night of Maundy Thursday, of sharing a meal. It was the last time Jesus on earth, before his resurrection, got to spend time with his friends, his nearest and his dearest. It would have been special, would have been very important, knowing what was to come. So my invitation for communion today is, as we take it, we're going to give the time for you to reflect and to think about what it is for Jesus to wash your feet, what it means for you to have that narrative rewritten around this time of Easter. Also, if you feel comfortable, if you have your friends or your family around you, perhaps after you've reflected, reach out in prayer. We could pray prayers that wash each other's feet. There's no compulsion to do that. If you're wanting to just sit and reflect, that is completely fine. But for a lot of us, we've gotten pretty used to prayer this last week. We've warmed up. So what better way to serve each other and to honor the example that Jesus set before us? I'm sure there are people in this room that would love to pray for you, if you'd like. So I'm just going to pray before we start communion, and we're just going to enter a time of reflection. Jesus, thank you so much that you decided and can't be confident enough in who you were to lay aside your divinity, to show what it means to serve, to show what it means to be humble, to show what it means to be vulnerable. Thank you for the example that you set, that we can love each other and serve one another, and in by doing so, serve you and honor you. Jesus, we invite you to come. Be amongst us. You've served us more than we could ever know. May we just have the time to sit with you and be washed by you, be loved and comforted by you. Please help us to love and comfort one another. Amen.